This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Remember good old Leroy. We could use Leroy now. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We thank you for being with us on this Friday, July 28th. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, we got a lot to talk about today. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We are your source for the right kind of news and commentary, too. In a few minutes, Heather Kays, our education expert, joins us in our weekly look at America's schools, including a look today at why the NAACP opposes school choice. Why do they do that? Why do they do that for minority students? And three strikes and you may be out. Another health care bill goes down swinging. We're gonna talk about it and why we think that is a good thing. Yes, indeed, a good thing. And by the way, what is going on with this guy, Anthony Scaramucci, Trump's new communications guy? He has managed to badmouth about half of the president's staff now. We're going to find out what the Barber Poll thinks about all this. I think you're going to be very interested in hearing it. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most beautiful U.S. college campuses. Is your college one of them, do you think? Got to stay tuned. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber. It is the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, for my money, located in Clearwater on State Road 580, just west of the Countryside Mall and Highway U.S. 19. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Don't forget, we're not only on Tantalk AM 1340, but Tantalk FM 106.1 for those of you in Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, and in Dade City, 104.3. All right. Boy, oh boy, have you ever been through a more turbulent series of political, what would you call them, maneuvers of all kinds? Senate Republicans late last night or early this morning, I guess, struck out. Three strikes. They failed to pass Mitch McConnell's skinny repeal. It was going to be a way of cutting back on Obamacare by taking out the mandate and the medical device requirements. Basically, it was going to clean up the current Obamacare. Wouldn't really get rid of it, if you will. But around 2 a.m. Eastern, it failed, 51 to 49. And the three Republicans that joined all the Democrats included John McCain from Arizona, Susan Collins from Maine, and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. Now, is that a good thing? Well, to our mind, it's a very good thing, because we do not want the federal government's involvement in health care. Now, of course, it's currently totally involved in health care. But what's happening is, since the insurance companies are pulling out one by one, there's not going to be any insurance company that you can go to. Now, for Democrats, they think that, therefore, everybody will rally around the government. And yet, if you have any kind of intelligence, you realize that that would make the total idea of healthcare a joke. We do not want the government's involvement. If we allow this Obamacare to continue to implode as it is, what are you going to do? You're going to still go to the doctor, even if you don't have any insurance. So what's happening? Well, what's happening is right now the free market on its own is developing ideas and ways for people to go to a doctor and get treated. There are all kinds of new programs that you can join a doctor's organization now, a medical clinic, if you will. You'll pay like a monthly fee. We had that Dr. Elena George on. She has one of them. There's all kinds. So you pay like $150 to $250 bucks a month. And what happens? You can go to that doctor as many times as you want. He gets a cut rate deal on his prescriptions. He's got a network of doctors that he can send you to for, you know, specific issues, specialists. That's what's happening. And it's happening in the free market, not the federal government running it. In fact, it's the antithesis. At some point, we're going to realize that health care is not a right. You don't have a right to health care. That's like saying you have a right to the chattel or the slavery of other people who are healthcare workers. You have a right to their efforts for you. No, you don't. They're just like you. They need to get paid. So your right ends when you don't have any money to pay for it. If you got the money, fine. So the deal is that if you let the free market do all of this, not make it a right, but make it back as all of the other things that we have in the free market, something that you can purchase at a fair cost, and you will get that with competition, then we're going somewhere. But until we learn that, McCain, Murkowski, and that senator from Maine, whose name I keep forgetting, Collins, that was not on their mind when they voted this down. They want more involvement with Democrats and more government involvement, actually, in healthcare. They're all moderates, really. Some would say they're Democrats. So now Trump's all upset. He's tweeting about how Republicans and all Democrats have let those three Republicans and all Democrats have let people down. I'm not so sure they have in their own strange way. We got to let the states get back to figuring out what's best for their people. And generally, the states will go with a free market. And generally, I think states will allow insurance companies from across the state, across state lines. But we got to get it back in the free market. Just like we should have just about everything running in the free market and away from the clutches of the federal government. If you want a better product, look what we're getting now with the government running just a portion of it, right? The costs are completely uncontrollable. Doctors are diving out of the business. You're lucky if you see a doctor when you go into a doctor's office anymore. Okay, let us take our break. And when we come back, we will switch gears to education with Heather Kays.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show, guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show, guys, every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show, guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back on a Friday. Thank you very much for being with us. And per usual, our good buddy and partner, Heather Kayes, is with us. Heather is an education reporter, policy expert on schooling. She's been published all over the country. Watchdog.org, The Hill, USA Today, The Associated Press, many others. And we talk every Friday about what is going on with our American education. And Heather, I know we got a bunch of things to talk about, so let's get right at it. First of all, you know, for all the heat Donald Trump takes, he's not taking a salary. I don't know why not. I think it would be combat pay at this point. However, he does not take a salary, and apparently he's donating part of it to education. Tell us about that.
Yes. So for his second quarter salary, which is $100,000, President Trump is donating the money to the Department of Education, and the money will be used for a STEM summer program. So it'll be used for a program to try to get students involved in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I think it's really a wonderful use for the money. STEM jobs are easily one of the smartest directions that students can go in right now if they want to see a return on investment for their studies. So I just thought that it's worth, you know, for all yes. of the grief that he takes for every idea he has, for every word that he says, this is a really a wonderful thing that he's doing. And there's absolutely, he's not required to do this. No one's making him do this to look good. He actually just, you know, want it to do this, and I think it's a great thing.
Well said. And, you know, you're not going to get a lot of publicity about this in the mainstream media, I am sure. So I'm glad you found that little tidbit. Very good. On to the NAACP, and we've talked about this before, Heather, and I cannot for the life of me understand why the NAACP is so down on school choice and charter schools. But we got a couple of stories here. One's from the Washington Post, one's from 74million.com, about how they are trying to stall and stop this program for inner-city youth. Tell us about this thing.
So last year we talked about this extensively. That was the first time that the NAACP came out and said that they wanted a moratorium on charter schools. They didn't want any new charter schools to open. They're coming out even stronger against charter schools this year, basically saying that charter schools aren't going to fix anything. And they're approaching it much the same way that the unions usually do, in that saying that charter schools take away from the overall public education system, rather than acknowledging that charter schools are now part of the public education system. And part of it that actually functions better than a lot of the traditional public schools, they're saying that it's detrimental to minority students and students in general. So this is bad news, and it's unfortunate, and it's causing a lot of problems within the minority communities, yeah. Because not everybody feels this way. So the NAACP is taking a stance that is not necessarily celebrated by all leaders in Black and minority communities. There are a lot of people in these communities who are in favor of school choice and specifically in favor of charter schools.
Yeah, I think you're being kind to the NAACP. As a matter of fact, I would venture to say that the NAACP has become almost impotent. And it used to be a very powerful voice for the Black experience. I don't believe it is anymore. You do not hear about them anymore, you know, on the front pages of newspapers when things occur involving minorities anymore. You don't see it. They are not as effective. I think they've lost about as much power as unions have over the years. And obviously, you know, the first question that comes to mind is, Why would the NAACP and its leaders stand up in front of black people and tell them that charter schools, vouchers, and choice is not a good idea for them, and try to belittle it, and try to keep these kids in these failing schools that they know are failing in the inner city? I know why. It's because they're connected to money that seems to get into their wallets, probably from the unions, right?
That's correct. The NAACP has received hundreds of thousands of dollars from the teachers' unions, and so it's not entirely surprising that they get up and they are basically saying what the unions want them to say. It's unfortunate to see. It's really misguided as far as what it is that they're saying, and there are thousands and thousands of parents and families and leaders in the community who disagree with this entirely.
Of course they do. I'm glad, by the way, the 74million.com is around, because I see that they wrote one of the two stories. Yeah, I guess the other one was the Washington Post, which would probably not give much pushback to the NAACP. I didn't read the entire story. But
the Washington Post doesn't even mention the ties between the unions and the NAACP.
There you
That's
go.
Why I sent both stories.
I appreciate it. Exactly. Again, who is the woman that's in front of the 74 million? Who is she again?
Campbell Brown.
Yes. I remember her. She used to be on one of the major networks.
CNN.
CNN. No wonder she's not on it anymore. She understands some of these things, you know. God bless her. God bless her. Okay, we're talking, by the way, with Heather Kayes. God bless Heather Kayes, who finds all of these stories, because she is pushing, like we are pushing, the idea that kids deserve a choice and the opportunity to get a good education. My goodness, you know, the older you get, the more you realize how important it is to get a good education. It's an absolute springboard. But she's our education reporter and policy expert. So, Heather, we've always got, you know what? I'm going to buy a Mayor de Blasio pinata, and I'm going to hang it up here in the studio. I'm going to get a broomstick, and I'm going to whack it, because we have an opportunity to whack him just about every week. And I see we have another story where parents are protesting his plan to use these unassigned city teachers in New York. Tell us about that.
I am actually really, really upset about this, as are many families. So there have been families that are protesting the mayor. Basically, he has decided that he is going to force a bunch of unassigned teachers back into classrooms. So these are the ATR teachers. That's the absent teachers reserve. Basically, these are teachers who were removed from the classroom either because they were ineffective or because they were accused of wrongdoing.
Oh, God.
So they're put into these things that are often referred to as rubber rooms, and they still collect a salary, which is awful, right?
Yeah.
Worse than the fact that these teachers are getting money for not doing their job? Well, these parents think the worst thing that could happen is that these ineffective and even teachers who have done something wrong are getting put back into the classroom as if they didn't do anything wrong, as if they're completely effective, as if they're going to be in a position to properly teach students. But, you know, the mayor doesn't really seem very concerned. So a bunch of parents showed up and protested outside of his gym on Wednesday morning, as he always does when he's being protested by parents. He ignored them and got into his car and pretended like nothing was happening.
Yeah.
But this is a really, really messed up situation where these parents have been protesting for years, months, trying to get information about who these teachers are, where they're located, because the parents already were fearful that this exact thing was going to happen. Eventually, these teachers were just going to be shuffled back into the rotation, and no one was going to know where they were. And you have to expect, are these parents going to end up in the schools, you know, with the high incomes, where parents have the option to send their kids to private school if they feel like it? No. These lousy teachers are going to be put back into low-income area schools, neighborhoods where parents and families don't have the option to remove their children from the schools if they're put into a classroom with an ineffective teacher.
Is de Blasio ever going to be voted out? I wonder if there's a chance. You know, I think a Republican might have a chance. This guy has managed to offend, let's see, the entire police department. I mean, who's good? And anybody that's right-thinking, I can't see how they would like this guy to be around again. When is he up for election again? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, that's all right.
But to be honest, I wish that you were right.
I know. I know
that you're not.
I know.
I know the people around here, and I think that maybe they're just unfortunately a little bit too comfortable with the status quo.
Yeah. It's a Democratic city. I wonder how Giuliani ever got elected there, now that I think about it. You know? Maybe he ought to rerun. He'd be about the only guy. Anyway, yeah, I mean, this guy de Blasio, he's become a clown in that city. I don't know how. I would think that the local newspapers would at least see some of the things that he's doing that are wrong. I guess they've got quite a few papers there. Probably the Post would jab at him. But
the Post gives him a hard time for sure. Even the Daily News, it's not like the reporters don't notice. It's just the stories get written about, and then everybody carries on like it's business as usual.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting. Ah, okay. On to Florida. We got a couple of things going on there, Heather. First of all, I guess the Miami-Dade School Board, which is one of the biggest school boards, by the way, in Florida, is another step closer to joining other school boards to challenge a new education law. Tell us about that law and why.
So this is the law that would make it so that school districts have to share part of their funding for maintenance and buildings with charter schools. We talked about this the first time that this happened, the first school district that decided that they were going to sue. Now it's up to 5 school districts. And with Miami-Dade considering it, this is becoming a big deal very quickly. So basically, they're going to fight against the entire piece of legislation, and thousands of dollars have already been spent, hiring attorneys for all the different districts. And
where is this money going right now? Where is this money going to, according to the new education law? Where is it going?
Basically, what the law says is that charter schools have a right to receive part of the funding that goes towards buildings and maintenance.
Buildings and maintenance money.
Gotcha. The traditional public schools are saying that they shouldn't have to share the money with the charter schools.
Gotcha. And, of course, since charter schools, as you have pointed out, are really public schools, it's hard for them to argue against that money going towards them to some extent, right?
You would think, but they're going to try anyway.
Yeah.
They're claiming that it undermines the economic viability of the school system.
Oh.
Rather than acknowledging that charter schools are part of the school system, they're trying to make it where traditional public schools are separate and should be treated.
And by the way, this is the school board. This is not the school district. And the school board is made up of parents as well, right? So I guess in Miami-Dade, they just tend to be pro-union, I guess, huh? And pro-public schools, is that the idea?
See, this is the thing that's really upsetting to me, is the whole idea that if you're pro-public schools, it means you have to be anti-charter schools.
Yeah, that's
right.
It means
you don't understand what's actually happening.
Exactly right.
Charter schools are public schools, and all of those students need to be taken care of, just like the students who are in traditional public schools.
Yeah.
So to me, this is nonsense, but, they're going to fight it out in court, and I have a feeling that this is something that's going to drag on for quite a while.
Yeah. And finally, we have one more story, and this has to do with homeschooling, I think. Home education is once again on the rise in Florida. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so homeschooling has been increasing in Florida pretty steadily over the years, and it's continuing to rise. We're at 87,462 students being homeschooled for the 2016-2017 school year.
Mm-hmm. And that's so in Florida, right, alone?
It is in Florida.
Yeah.
Yep, that's Florida alone. And it's interesting because you're seeing some really big spikes in the growth of homeschooling. It increased by 5% in the past year alone. But then you look at other places, and it's very specific places where it's happening. It declined in some places like Jefferson County and Miami-Dade, but in other places like Jacksonville and Duval County and Palm Beach County, the number has increased pretty dramatically, in some cases by as much as 15%.
Wow. Now, have you ever looked at it economically? Does it tend to happen in wealthier areas that homeschooling is on the rise, or do you know?
Traditionally speaking, that is the case, because usually you need to be able to afford to supplement wherever. Not all parents are going to have the expertise or ability to properly teach their kids alone. So a lot of wealthier areas, you will see it, because they have a lot of these education co-ops and classes and groups where you can sort of, take your child and a lot of resources are shared. So it tends to happen where there's at least a little bit of money, but it does happen everywhere. There are some low-income students who are homeschooled for various reasons. But I always think that it's important to mention, because it's a great option for a lot of families.
Yeah.
And
so
it's a lot of work, but it ends up being worth it, because if you look at the testing scores and honestly how successful students become after school, homeschoolers kick butt. I mean, they really, really do well for themselves, traditionally speaking. So it's something to consider.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Delighted to hear that. I really am. Homeschooling is a nice option when you can do it. And a lot of the times you can't. Heather, great stories. Really appreciate it very much. And looking forward to next Friday with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Heather Kays, we're going to take our break. When we come back, what is going on with this Anthony Scaramucci, the communications director? We're going to talk about it with another Italian. Stay tuned.
Don't want you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Man, if you're looking for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, then I've got the place for you. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and their staff will see to it you get a great haircut and for a great price as well. Cutting men's hair is all they do, not like some of these so-called unisex hair salons where the price is high and you never know who you're going to get. And by the way, you'll not only get a great haircut, you'll also love the experience. The shop is just like the ones you remember as a kid, and staffed with the friendliest group of people you'll ever meet. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19 and the Countryside Mall in Clearwater. Just look for the yellow sign with the red letters. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people who have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mother in love.
Hey, we're back on a Friday, and before we get to Andrew the Master Barber, we have, I guess we have Jimmy from the pizza place. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, it's Jimmy over here from the pizza shop. I'm actually buddies with Andrew, and he's the one that turned me on to you, Paul. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah.
I was with this nice young lady on the phone and through your radio program, and how right she is. I met this kiddo at the pool with her mom. I'm talking to this kid. I'm thinking, this guy's, like, got one up on everybody. And finally, it was, he's homeschooled. What's going on? Nothing's making any sense anymore to me, buddy.
Yeah. No, she is great. Heather Kays, thank you for making that compliment about her. And homeschooling is something she's been very much talking about. You know, we've had her as part of our team for quite a few years now. And she really does. She follows up on all of these kinds of activities. And so it's good of you to say that, Jimmy.
And I got to tell you, anyone that doesn't roll through to see Andrew to get their haircut, I mean, they don't even know what they're missing out on. He's the greatest guy, and Candy, she's the greatest girl. So there you go. You go in and get your haircut. But, you know, I just want to not take too much of your time.
No.
But besides
all right.
being, you know, Democrats or Republicans, you know, how about just being like an American first? You know, whatever happened to that kind of common sense stuff?
You know, I'm hearing that idea more and more, and I think you make a good deal of sense. I guess, especially when we look at all of what's going on right now with the health care bill, and I guess with some of the contention around the administration, we have lost that. We've taken sides. It's almost like going back to the idea of, you know, the North versus the South, you know?
Terrible. You're absolutely right. I couldn't say it better myself. And, like, how about the common sense stuff, you know, like the Bill of Rights? You know, we're still arguing about whether people should be able to own a weapon or carry weapons. This is in a document known as the Bill of Rights. Let's move on to more important stuff. I understand that Snooty the Manatee will be missed, but there's got to be bigger stories like Kim Jong-un, who wants to, like, send a nuke over to California. That's got to be a bigger story than Snooty.
Yeah, no, we, you know, the priorities, although I felt bad for Snooty. I guess he got into that piping and couldn't back out.
100 stories for a week, but then you got these really big stories, and unfortunately, you just don't hear. But my final thing I want to leave you with is the captain of the ship motto. You vote for who you want to be president. You either get your way one term or you don't, but the captain of the ship is the captain of the ship. I voted for Trump, even if I wouldn't have voted for him. He is the president of the United States.
Hey, thank you, Jimmy. Call back again. Love to hear from you.
God bless, brother.
Okay. Jimmy, the pizza guy from the pizza place. Delighted to hear from him. All right. Yes, indeed. And he made nice comments about Andrew's Master Barbershop, which is indeed the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. It's over in the Columbia Plaza. Although I think he's going to be moving. But it's over in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. It is just west of Highway US 19 and the Countryside Mall. And I think we got him on the line, but I'm not sure yet. So we got good old Andrew. Andrew, what is going on with this guy, Anthony Scaramucci? I guess he didn't realize that they were going to, here he is talking to a reporter. And he was basically verbally undressing a bunch of people in the
Trump
administration.
Yeah, well, you know, he comes off of the streets of New York, he's got to realize he's not talking with the boys next door.
Yeah, and I found that to be kind of stupid that he wouldn't think that they would repeat this.
No, well, he's going to find out, isn't he?
Yeah, but that goes towards saying something about him and his
his demeanor. His demeanor.
No, his perception of what's going on, in a way. But go ahead. I want to get your thought. He seems to have a real, I don't know, is it a New York attitude or is it a revenge thing?
You know, it's a tough one to explain. The guy's worth some money. He's made it. He probably had nothing as a kid. He hung around with the mob when he was growing up.
I'm beginning
to think.
There's
where you're at.
Well, you're being honest. I think that's right. I think that's right. The guy could, you know, he actually looks like he could be in a Godfather movie.
The guy's got the class. He's got what it takes.
Yeah.
And he really don't care what he says, and that's how they are.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? You're right. So,
what do you think of all the publicity Snooty's getting?
Oh, poor Snooty.
I
can get emotional thinking about that because that was a dear friend of Tampa Bay and St. Petersburg, the manatee. For those people that don't know, Snooty was about a 69-year-old manatee. I mean, I didn't realize they lived that long. And he got himself caught underneath in some piping. And because, you know, they're so big and bulky, he couldn't back out or he didn't, and he drowned.
He got no reverse.
Yeah.
Paul,
yes,
the thing that gets me, though,
yeah?
Did you see they want to do an investigation into Snooty's death?
Do you think of that there was a conspiracy?
They're doing an investigation
into
the death of Snooty.
No, I didn't know that.
But, oh, yeah, it was all over the news yesterday. An investigation into Snooty's death, but nobody does an investigation into Seth Rich's murder.
Yeah, well, now, I want to get back to that as long as you brought it up. I'm still a little bit of a doubting Thomas on that one, Andrew. I know that he got gunned down, but I don't think they've been able to link anything with the Democrats.
Yeah, they're linking Debbie Wasserman Schultz to this one.
Now, wait. Who's they that are linking?
I've been watching on the computer.
Who's they that you say are linking?
I've been watching the conservative news, okay? And I told you that One American News put that special on. And people are coming down, and what they're doing is they're starting an investigation into this, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz is getting a little bit nervous. And do you know that her brother is going to be in charge of the investigation? And they're going crazy with this
what?
Right now because it's a big conflict of interest.
Whoa. Her brother? Debbie Wasserman Schultz?
Her brother was a district attorney in Columbia.
They would not allow it.
Well, this is what they're saying.
They
it's a conflict
it.
Of interest. They shouldn't allow it, but this is what they're talking about.
They would never allow a brother to be involved in investigating a sister. I know that. I don't know where.
Well, look at how they're letting Mueller investigate with Russia. Look at the ties he had with Comey. Look at the ties that he had with the Clintons. This guy shouldn't be where he is either, but they're letting it happen.
I would agree with you.
Okay, they're letting it happen there.
However, Comey and Mueller are not brothers.
We don't know that.
Well, maybe we don't.
They could be brothers from another mother.
They could be. Yeah, you know, I'll say one thing about Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's already got a big, big problem, and that has to do with this IT guy who was trying to, by the way, get on an airplane
and get the hell out of town.
And she was protecting the guy.
Do you remember me telling you about 3 months ago that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to be the first one to start singing like a canary?
Yeah, she might be now. I agree.
Remember I told you that? Oh, Andrew, you're crazy again.
No, I don't think I said that.
Once Debbie Wasserman Schultz starts going down, you're going to see everybody she's going to take down with her.
Yeah.
And you know what else I heard through on the computer or seen, Paul?
I'm afraid to.
This one really shocked me. They tell me that they're banning pork in Germany.
They're banning pork in Germany now.
Can you imagine that? What are they going to make bratwurst out of?
I know. Fish? Now, that would be a bad. I don't think that tastes very good.
It would be fishwurst, not bratwurst, right?
Well, you know what else we're not hearing about? Why are they banning pork in Germany?
Because of all the Muslims.
Oh.
They're trying to be politically correct. No bacon in Germany.
Okay, now.
The party's over.
Okay, now, first of all, Andrew, you know that that's not been banned in Germany. You can still buy pork in Germany. You know that.
You probably have to pay double for it now. You're going to be smuggling it. There's going to be a lot of money to be made in pork in Germany.
You know, I saw an email that, and I'm going to bring this up to you, that one of the chicken packing plants, Tyson chicken packing plant in Tennessee, is no longer going to allow its employees to celebrate Labor Day. And they are going to, and this is true, in place of it, substitute a Muslim holiday. And the reason is that the plant has more Muslims than anything else as employees, and the Muslims complained about it. So they decided, okay, we're going to substitute one day that you can celebrate and take off, and we'll take away Labor Day.
Amazing.
Isn't that funny?
It's amazing.
Yeah, now
it's
that
amazing.
Is true. That's
and you know,
true.
Paul, how come I haven't heard any more about this Somali policeman that shot that girl? I'm really disappointed.
You will. I think that one actually has gotten some mainstream press attention. It has.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I know. I agree with you a little bit, but it has gotten some. I want to mention one other thing as long as we're on Muslims. And by the way, we're talking with Andrew the Master Barber in the Barber Pole. And Andrew, that is, I saw a video. Parts of London now are totally, totally taken over by Muslims. And they had this guy with a camera going down the street, literally slowly driving down the street in a couple of these areas. And it was nothing but Muslims walking along the streets of London. And I would say, of course, it's, you know, they're playing the sort of doomsday music in the background as the guy's doing it. But it was a little bit, I have to admit, a little bit scary to see how large a percentage of London is turning Muslim.
You know, London is no longer London no more.
No, it's not.
Okay, and this is what we're trying to avoid in this country.
They have a Muslim mayor. Did you know that?
Yeah, yes, I know that. They have a Muslim mayor, of course.
So,
and he was coming down. He was coming down big time on Trump. I remember that.
Yeah. So,
Now look at here. Look at here already. They're talking about the first Muslim presidential nominee for the Democratic Party in 2020.
Now, that would be something.
Okay, I forgot. He's a professor somewhere. I forgot his name. Well, I was reading about him yesterday.
A lot of people thought Barack Obama would have qualified for that particular.
Well, that's what they said. They said he's the second one.
I guess so.
They said he's the second one. But, it's getting scary what's going on. And you know what? Look at why they keep trying to fight Trump. Look at last night, that McCain. They should have kept him in the hospital. They shouldn't have allowed him out to vote. Because he made a mistake voting. I'm just taking it that he doesn't know what he's doing right
now. Yeah. Well, we talked earlier on the show here about the fact that in its own way, even though they had different reasons for voting it down, I'm glad that they didn't come up with some new government-run program. So, you know, that's another story
like
there.
Like I say, Trump just says, let it go. Let it fall.
I think it should. I absolutely do. And somehow, hopefully, the free market will trickle in to take its place.
That's what I'm saying, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, I hope it will.
And then what are they going to say then? You know, Trump could come out with a cure for cancer, and it doesn't matter. They're going to say it's no good.
Well, we've said this before, that if he was able to walk on water, they'd say, well, he's afraid of getting his hair wet.
But it's true. It's true. I mean, they're coming down on him and this and that, but I just get a little bit upset when they give Snooty more attention than Seth Rich, man.
Well, come on now. Snooty deserves a little bit of attention. Well, no, maybe not quite that much.
Well, I mean, what's there to investigate? He swam into a hole he couldn't get out of.
Yeah. So you don't think it's a conspiracy?
No. They just want to investigate.
Yeah, it's one of the few conspiracies you don't believe in. I'm glad to hear it.
No, I just don't understand why they want to investigate it.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
I can't understand that one.
Well, listen. In memoriam to Snooty. Snooty, you got plenty of attention, so I'm sorry about it, but we're going to move. We're going to move on.
That's it, and I'm going to keep watching this Debbie Wasserman Schultz thing go down. And I'm telling you, when she goes down with this IT thing, you're going to see everything come out about Seth Rich, and then the whole snowball is going to start at the top of the mountain, my friend.
I think they're going to have to move her into protective custody.
No, there's no question about that.
I think so,
because they know she's going to talk.
Yeah, like a canary.
Oh, she's going to sing like a parrot.
Although she's got a very low voice, and if she tried to sing like a canary, I think it would be a bad deal.
She'll sound like Al Jolson or somebody, a little bit deeper.
You and I are the only ones that remember Al Jolson, which is
Al Jolson.
Good old Allie.
Yes.
Josie.
Yes.
Jolie.
Anyway.
All right, Andrew. Andrew the Master Barber, thank you so much, and I am really looking forward to talking again with you next week.
And let's keep our eyes open on the Snooty investigation.
We will.
We got to keep up on it.
I think so. There's something going on with Snooty. All right. Thank you, Andrew. All right. There he goes. You know, Snooty. Come on now. Snooty, although I was looking at the paper, I didn't see anything about Snooty in the Tampa Bay Times, at least not on the front page. Did you know about Snooty? Ed, did you feel bad when you heard about Snooty?
Well, he did live till he was 69.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, he probably had dementia, and so he swam in there. You know what I mean? Oh, well, I guess that's all we can say about that. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, among other things, the top 10 most beautiful college campuses.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Man, if you're looking for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, then I've got the place for you. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. Andrew, his daughter Candy, and their staff will see to it you get a great haircut and for a great price as well. Cutting men's hair is all they do. Not like some of these so-called unisex hair salons where the price is high and you never know who you're going to get. And by the way, you'll not only get a great haircut, you'll also love the experience. The shop is just like the ones you remember as a kid, and staffed with the friendliest group of people you'll ever meet. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19 and the Countryside Mall in Clearwater. Just look for the yellow sign with the red letters. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Final segment of Freedom Works for the week, as a matter of fact. Thank you for being with us. And, you know, let's talk about a couple of things that Donald Trump probably doesn't get much credit for. Number one, we talked about it with Heather Case, and that is he's donating this past quarter's salary, about $100,000 or so, to education, which is a good thing. And have you noticed the stock market ever since the election? The Dow recorded its 28th all-time high of the year. Yesterday, it closed at almost 22,000, 21,796. There have been a total of 131 business days where the market has closed since Trump got elected, and it's closed 28 times, 28 of those days, for more than 20% or one-fifth of the days at all-time highs. Now, if you've got any money in the stock market, like mutual funds, you should be very happy about what's going on. So for better or for worse, under the reign of Donald Trump, the stock market is going gangbusters. You know that since the election on November the 8th, the Dow has closed at record highs 45 times. Wow. So there you go. Now, on the other side of this, if Trump sticks to what he says he wants to do, Americans that earn $150,000 to about $310,000 are going to see a tax increase. Yeah, that's a lot of people. $150,000 to $300,000+. This comes from a recent study by the Tax Policy Center. It's supposed to be a nonpartisan group in Washington. Based on Trump's, you know, what he had to say and his proposals, it concludes that nearly one-third of about 19 million households, one-third of them in that income range, could see a tax hike that averages from about $3,000 to $4,000 a year. It says, by contrast, less than 10% of households that earn the least or the most, in other words, below $25,000 or above $700,000, would owe more after a tax overhaul. Less than 10%. So the vast majority of people, of course, are going to end up getting a deal. But I don't know why they just can't get lower tax rates for every group. I don't know why they can't do it. It would work. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal earlier this week, Trump affirmed that a major overhaul could bring what he called upward revisions that raise taxes for some people. And he struck a new tone, apparently stating that he doesn't like it that a, quote, rich guy who made $25 million last year is going to pay less after tax reform than before. Well, sorry, Donald, I think everybody should pay less. Everybody. Well, we'll see where all of that goes. By the way, on one final thing on this healthcare imbroglio, they keep talking about how many people would lose their health care if Obamacare was dropped. Well, 15 million of those would opt out on their own. They wouldn't want it. So, you know, to talk about all of these people that would lose it is disingenuous. Most of them would opt out on their own. Okay, it is time for a very good top 10. We got this from profascinate.com. They went out and they did a study to find where are the 10 most beautiful college campuses. And always remember, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So this is just a particular group of 10. Let's see if you feel the same way as they do. So without further ado, here we go. Most beautiful college campuses, number 10. They have picked Arizona State University.
Too dry.
Yeah, it is dry and hot there, but it has a huge campus. You know that the campus covers 630 acres. Wow. It's one of the biggest schools in the U.S. in terms of area and enrollment. You know, they got about 60,000 students, too. Okay, number nine. Hey, add a little closer to home. The University of Central Florida. It's located in Orlando, and over 60,000 students. Did you know that many go to that school?
It's a growing school, yes.
Yeah. And they got 1,500 acres. 1,500 acres. That is huge. Huge. All right, number eight. On to Missouri, the Show Me State, the University of Missouri. Now, they have they had a big fire, and all that was left of this beautiful, magnificent building were six columns. They left those six iconic columns there. It's in front of what's now called Jesse Hall and the Memorial Union. Number seven. And I can attest to this because I lived right next to it. Auburn University in Auburn, Alabama. Beautiful, gorgeous Georgian architecture. It's got a clock tower, beautiful clock tower, in that red brick. Just a beautiful campus. Number six. Ed, have you ever been around the University of Miami? Have you seen
it? No.
In any case? Okay. Well, it's number six. It's situated, by the way, on Lake Osceola. And, of course, in that setting, you know, on the lake, the palm trees add to its beauty. All right, number five. On to Penn State University. Yes, sir, it's the fifth best. They've got 45,000 students on campus. I remember going near Penn State, rolling hills, very pretty. So there you go. Number four, Ohio State University. Yeah, in Columbus, Ohio. The Buckeyes, they got 58,000 students there, and it's a campus that incorporates 1,800 acres. Number three, University of Houston. Yeah, in Houston, Texas. They have a beautiful fountain there, by the way, at that university. Cullen Plaza Fountain, one of the prettiest things you'll ever see. Number two. Ah, yes, out to the California coast and the University of San Francisco. Now, this is a smaller school compared to a lot of the others on the list. It's only got 10,000 students. But you know who went to the University of San Francisco? Now I got to think of his name. He was the great basketball player. What was his name?
Well, that narrows it down.
No, come on, come on. The big center, Bill Russell. Come on now, Ed, you should know Bill Russell. Yeah, he went to San Francisco University. Pretty good ball player. All right, here we go. The number one most beautiful college campus in America. You want to take a guess, Ed?
No.
It's out west.
No, I don't know.
That's all right. I wouldn't have known. But it's the University of San Diego.
Wow.
Now, you would think so. San Diego's a beautiful city, beautiful weather, and they have beautiful Spanish architecture. Beautiful Spanish architecture for the University of San Diego. I hope that they can teach the kids out there. That's the main thing. You know, these days you worry about that. All right. We had a wonderful week here on Freedom Works. We thank you all so very much. For being with us. We hope that you have a safe and wonderful weekend. We will be back on Monday, but always remember, freedom works.